Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You got the
Okay,
floor.
wonderful.
You got the floor.
Well, now we want to hear you. But I was thinking if she's going to talk, I'm just going to kick back with my coffee.
Well, go
let's
ahead. I'm
see.
sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay, honey. I was just thinking, just where we've been in the tabernacle, about doing the work of the apothecary, and just thinking back to things and how my little Nana trained me. But I was thinking of how I had caught something a little different when I wrote the scripture. It was Ecclesiastes 10:1. It says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." The word reputation just like leaped off the page at me. That, and just the basic definition of that under Webster is our position. We're in position for wisdom and honor, and when we do the work of the apothecary and our worship to God. And I thought back, I was just so naive. God is so good. And I've heard you say this too, Mama June, that I think it was 3 to 5 years while I was in this holy bubble, I call it. Now that I know I was somewhere else, I allowed no TV, no radio, no other books than the Bible, no shopping catalogs. Nothing that would alter my gait. And we didn't have cell phones back then, so it was so much easier. And I had babies, so I was just always tending to babies and worshiping. But I went back to, it was a freebie. I posted it in the Bible college today. It was a freebie book by Christine Beedsworth. Beauty Treatments of the Bride, and she listed myrrh and cinnamon, calamus, acacia, and olive oil. And just a brief little meaning of those. Let me go back. Myrrh, that is the distilling in our drops. That's our bitter, we've heard like bitter herbs in the Bible and how they cleanse us too, the bitter herbs. But our bitter herbs, our grief before the Lord, cinnamon is to raise up, to stand up and to stand erect. And calamus is redeemed. We are bought. We are owned. And cassia is to bow down in deference to someone greater than ourselves. It's to cleave. We cleave unto the Lord. And let's see, the olive oil, it's the branch or the berry as yielding, illuminating oil. It's where we get our illumination in the Lord. As in the tabernacle, we're moving and we're just under the light of the menorah, the Lord leading us. And I just thought of how precious that time was, and that We are in reputation for wisdom and honor before our Lord, and to not allow any flies in our ointment. And how I was taught that, I think back of Marty laughing at me, but he would always just say, I never know what I'm coming home to, but he said I was original and he loved me anyway. So we just want to keep our ointment pure and to remember that we are in reputation for wisdom and honor before our King. And just give him praise this morning and everyone else today. I love all of you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very unique, just like you are with your husband. That was awesome. Thank you so much. All right, let's move on then to Canada. Good morning, Canada. How you doing?
Well, good morning. Canada is great. So I'd just like to share about the possibility, can we forget the name of Jesus? So this is a couple of weeks ago now, because we missed sharing last week. Yeah, that's what happened. So I had a dream, and where I was with my wife and a group of people traveling. We were walking through an airport and boarding a plane. I had a sense of confusion as I had no itinerary or a ticket. That's different for me because I'm very detailed. The people started acting strangely, unholy-like, and my wife seemed not herself. I felt so disorientated that I ran off the airplane onto the tarmac. So it was must have been just the steps going down to the pavement. And I asked, you know, what happened here? Just wait. I ran off the plane to the tarmac. Yeah, I got on my knees. Somehow a friend came beside me, and I asked for him to get my wife. My friend did not go back to the plane. He went somewhere else and returned with my wife. And my real wife saw I was disorientated, and I said, and said to me, in the name of Jesus, snap out of this. Then the name of Jesus came to me, and everything cleared. I stared in rage at this group I had been with, and they were all destroyed, including the plane. I thanked my wife for coming, and then I woke up. But what stuck with me after is, how is it possible that a person could forget the name of Jesus? Like, how could I forget in my dream to call on Jesus when I was in trouble? And then on that Sunday, so that's a couple of weeks back, Pastor Dennis preached and talked about forgetting to seek God. And so that hit home with me too, but the sermon took me back to my question, how can a person forget about God? And I remembered a verse in the Bible, Hosea. It's in chapter 13. And I'll just read verses 5 to 8. It says, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled. And their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. So here we have the Jews. Jewish people, having been set free from the bondage of Egypt, whining and complaining to God in the desert, God then provides all their needs, and after the people were full and happy, they forgot God. And they did not just forget God, they turned away from God. God was nowhere in their thoughts. How was this possible after seeing the miracles that they saw? God was so angry, he threatened to have them torn apart with wild beasts. So thinking about this, here's the answer that God, I believe, God gave me to my question, how I could forget God, even if it was a dream. But he says, we as Christians are to bond together, to fellowship, as we do in this Garden of Eden ministry, in our prayer calls, etc., when we reach out to each other. And when a brother or sister sees another brother or sister stumbling, we are to first approach them one-on-one to attempt to correct them and remind them of the Word of God, of Jesus. If needed, you may need to take another brother or sister with you and again try to help the fallen one. Last, the leaders of the church are to step in and to correct the issue with the brother or sister. This process means we can forget about Jesus and we can fall. That's why we need to fellowship and bond with fellow Christians. If we let Satan with the distractions of the world pull us away from the Word or fellowship with his church, we may find ourselves not being able to remember, even to remember, the Word of God or the name of Jesus, the only name given to man under heaven by which we might be saved. We need to accept correction if and when needed, and we must stay tight to the children of God, not to the world. So from now on, when I talk to strangers, I think I'm going to start asking, have you forgotten the name of Jesus? Because in our country, pretty well everybody's heard his name. They've just forgotten it. So holy God, may you never let your bride forget your holy, mighty name. Amen.
That is so beautiful. That is really awesome. Thank you about forgetting God. That's a good one. All right, what about Texas? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, bride. Today I'm going to read Psalm 23, which is very well known. Always is a beautiful psalm. And I want to thank you, Father God, for this new day. Your mercies are new every day. And we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. And we ask you, Father God, to be with us everywhere we go today and in whatever we do and in whatever we say. Use us, Father. And may you be glorified through it all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now I'm going to read Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. May the Lord bless each and every one of you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, sister, for your encouraging word. That was awesome. Thank you, thank you. All right, what about New York? Are you able to talk or no?
Hi, good morning. Not really. I'm driving, so I don't really have my Bible. But I just wanted to springboard off the lady who just spoke in, I think, Texas, and she was talking about, she read Psalm 23. And this past Saturday, there's a group of women who meet at this woman's house about once a month, and we have fellowship and we pray, and a lot of times people share. And this woman was sharing about the love of God and the goodness of God. And she was talking about the verse in Psalm 23 about goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life. And she said she was meditating on that, and she actually looked up, you know, like she went deeper with follow me. And she, I can't remember what she said, if she looked it up in the dictionary or whatever, but she said the word pursue. So the Lord pursues us. He continues to pursue us. Even when we stumble, he's there. He's there to pick us up and to keep going. So that's my encouragement for the day, that he pursues us and he loves us so much. And as the days get darker, we pray Christ's light shines brighter through us to be salt and light to this lost and hurting world. In Jesus' name, thank you.
That is awesome, sister, for you to do off the cuff. Great job, A plus. You have a good day. All right, what about Mississippi? What's going on, Mississippi?
Mississippi is wonderful. and I praise God for what? Glory to God. And I will be reading Matthew 5. We're going to go over the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And seeing the multitude, he went up into to a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I just thank the Lord for his word, and that we should always keep in our mind as believers and the remnant that we are going to be persecuted, but God has prepared us, and he will be with us always. Amen.
Amen. And you know something else I'm getting out of that scripture is kind of bouncing off of what New York said as well. You know, we are the salt of the earth. And that's what the scripture says right here in chapter 5. Where is it at? I just saw it. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. So good job, good job. Okay, let's move forward to, I'm going to come back to you, Indiana. Let's move forward to Georgia. Good morning, Georgia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to everyone. So I went about my living room here because I was working on a job application, and I picked up all the scriptures I have listed that are reminders for me of who I belong to.
The first one is,
as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. That's an abbreviated version of Joshua 24:15. The second one I have is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror at night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And if you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, which is Yeshua in Hebrew. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. That's Psalm 63:1-11. And the last two scriptures I have here is about Jesus being the light of the world. Isaiah 9:1-12. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Matthew 4:12-17. Now when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, And to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, and actually, I had one more. This is from 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was 2 Peter, 1st chapter 1 through 11. So I just want to give glory to God this day and every day, as long as there's breath in my body, and we know that we suffer the first death, but we just pass into eternity. So eternity actually begins now. So I'm just telling you, take the long view, folks. Take the long view.
That was a good one. Now, what was that 2 Peter what?
The very last one I read was 2 Peter, 1st chapter 1 through 11.
Thank you, because while y'all are talking, I'm noting. I'm taking notes. Well, that was very good, sister, for you to encourage the bride like that. That's really, really awesome. Okay, what about Florida? Good morning, Florida. How are you today, ma'am?
I'm doing good. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Hear ye, children, in the instruction of a father, and attend to thy understanding, to know thy understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my word, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the word of my mouth. Forsake not her, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, and thou shalt embrace her. She shall give thy head an ointment of grace, a crown of glory, and she shall deliver thee. Hear, my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy step shall be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil of an evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shall shine more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not what they stumble. My son, attend my word. Incline thy ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are they are life unto those that find them, and help to all thy flesh. Keep thine heart diligent, for out of it issueth the life. Put away from thy a froward mouth, and preserve thy lip put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on, and let thy eyelid look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, or not to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's all I have. Psalm 3 and 5 say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. So that's all I have for the day.
Hey, go back over there to the Proverbs that you had at first. Let me go over here and look. Proverbs chapter 4, and read that verse again about turn not to the right or the left, sister.
That's the last verse.
Yeah.
Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
All right, now, this is key, okay? Because you know the situation that I had on YouTube, you know, with the witches and all that kind of stuff. There is a time that you don't feel sorry. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? There is a time that you remove yourself from evil. You have to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Witchcraft is an abomination. That is not something that you should feel sorry for and coddle the demon.
While I say more, I won't go back to that.
You hear what I'm saying? So, all right. Well, thank you so much, sister. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to Minnesota. Let's see if she's going to be able to talk. Good evening.
Good evening, sister. Or this morning. Are you talking to me, Carla?
Yes.
Oh, well, I just dropped my little granddaughters off at school. I've been staying out of town, and so my daughter had a baby, and her husband's out of town, so I've been staying. And I just had to run a backpack. We were early, and then we forgot one backpack. So here I am running back and forth. So, I'm not prepared to share anything, but I'm definitely listening.
That's all right. Congratulations on the grandchild.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, she's doing really well. The baby's great. He's just beautiful. And God is so faithful, you know. Yeah. But I've been running back and forth 40 miles from my house taking care of my mom with dementia and then coming down and carting my grandkids around so she doesn't have to leave the house.
Oh, that's nice.
And then working too, so I've been just running around burning up gasoline like crazy. It's like, it's been something, that's for sure. This is my fifth day, I think, now. Yeah.
Well, I want to pray for you. Lord, I just pray for our sister right now that you give her peace, Lord, in the midst of her stressful experience, Lord. Thank you for the grandchild that was born into the world safely. And we just speak peace over the whole family in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you. That is good news, and I will put that on the website. That was a testimony. You shared the healthy birth of your grandson. All right. What about you, Florida?
Hello.
Hello. Okay.
I was reading in Leviticus 14:49, which prompted me to do this work, do some work on a word. It says, "And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop." And I'm like going, "Scarlet what?" Scarlet what? I looked into the word, and if for some reason, it other translations have scarlet yarn or scarlet thread or something like that. But this took me into this actually amazing little thing. So I'm just going to read this really, really quick. The word for that they used for scarlet was tola. Actually, it was thani, and underneath it was tola, but it wasn't attached to any word. But tola is sometimes transcribed as worm and sometimes transcribed as scarlet because it's a scarlet worm. I'm going to read this. Let's see. The Latin name for this worm is Coccus illicis, a fascinating creature to be sure. And one can start to see why tola is often translated scarlet or crimson. The dried bodies of the female worm were crushed to produce a brilliant scarlet dye. Now, according to biblical references, the crimson worm is sometimes used as a symbol to represent God's love. The crimson worm is known for sacrificing itself to give birth to its offspring, and the red dye it produces is also used as a symbol of sacrifice and redemption. Similarly, God's love is often described as sacrificial and redemptive. Now, the life cycle of the crimson worm looks more like a grub than a worm. In the life cycle of this worm is where the remnant is found. It points to the work of Jesus on the cross. When the female crimson worm is ready to lay her eggs, which happens only once in her life, she climbs up a tree or fence and attaches herself to it. With her body attached to the wooden tree, a hard crimson shell forms. It is a shell so hard and so secured to the wood that just as the mother worm attaching herself,
did you say that's it?
No.
What did you say?
I said that it, but I'm looking for my next page.
Oh. All right, well, go ahead. Hey, while you're doing that, I'm looking it up. That is, I have never heard this before in my life about the scarlet worm.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so let's see. So the female lays her eggs under her body, the protective shell. When the larvae hatch, they remain under the mother's protective shell so the baby worms can feed on the living body of the mother worm for 3 days. After 3 days, the mother worm dies and her body excretes a crimson or scarlet dye that stains the wood to which she is attached and her baby worms. The baby worms remain crimson colored for their entire lives. Thereby, they are identified as crimson worms. On day four, the tail of the mother worm pulls up into her head, forming a heart-shaped body that is no longer crimson, but has turned into a snow-white wax that looks like a patch of wool on the tree or fence. It then begins to flake off and drop to the ground looking like snow. Now, this comes to mind, Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Just as the mother. Okay, and I want to read the lactic material. This is the baby worm is dependent on the mother worm for crimson dye to give it life and to mark it. A repentant sinner must depend on the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, to receive new life, and to be marked as his own, as in Acts 4:12 and 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. But in Psalms, and I want to read this, in Psalms 22, this is where the worm part comes. Jesus claims himself a worm. Well, this was the prophecy. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Now here's 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Well, that's a little long. So that's the main thing I wanted to read you, 22:6. So like that's what he was saying, that, now just as the mother worm when crushed excretes a crimson scarlet dye that both covers the baby worms and stains or marks them, Jesus was also bruised or crushed for our iniquities. His scourgings and the nails that were driven into his hands and feet brought forth his crimson scarlet blood that both washes away our sins. I read this backwards. And just as the mother worm attaching herself to a tree is part of God's design for the worm's life cycle, so also it was God's plan, his design, to send his son to be attached to a tree and a wooden cross to die. 2 Timothy 1:9 and 1 Peter 1:20. In biblical times, the red dye excreted from the crimson worm was used in the high priest's robe and probably for red dye used on the ram skins to create the covering of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Uses of this red dye continue today. While still red and attached to the tree, the worm's body and shell are scraped off and used to make what is called royal red dye. So that's all I have.
All you have? That was powerful, woman. I never knew that about the crimson worm.
Me neither. I was kind of scattered. I had my papers mixed up. But the point was that Jesus, like the crimson worm, gives her life for her young. Jesus gave his life for us.
Yes. It's also cool how it left a stain. It leaves a stain on the tree that never goes away.
Yeah.
Thank you for finding this for us. This is amazing.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Well, let's move on then to Indiana, and then I believe we're finished today. Good morning, Indiana. Are you ready? How you doing?
Yeah, good morning. I have my Bible open to First Corinthians chapter 13. Now I lost it. Sorry. Oh, it's 1 Corinthians. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Exercise gifts with love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 6. I want to start at verse 22. I'll read Ephesians chapter 6 from 10. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now I want to read, people have read Psalm 23, and then Leslie just read Psalm 22. I noticed Psalm 25, so I just want to read through that real quick. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yet let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will be guided in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles. And that was the end of Psalm 25. Pastor June, I just want to mention and give encouragement. I wasn't sure whether I should mention this, but I think maybe I should. I know you touched on, you know, the spiritual warfare you had been going through. And can you hear me?
Girl, we can always hear you. Just keep going.
Okay. So something happened yesterday, you know, that it's pretty wild, but it's been happening to me a lot lately. But now this time it was outside. And I'll go ahead and mention it because that's why I was looking, okay, what am I going to read? And I thought Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the full armor. And I'm just being covered by the blood of Jesus, but I've been mentioning that, you know, I've been looking for a job lately, so I decided to go ahead. You know, I haven't been encouraged, you know, Pastor Jones. I went ahead and called the lady that hired me at this last place that I was at, and her name is Denise, and she's very down to earth, very just, you know. So I thought, let me call Denise. And so anyhow, so she said give her a couple of days, and that's fine. Sounds good right now. So anyhow.
Are you talking about your boss?
Yeah, I did call her yesterday.
What? I'm so proud of you. Wow.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really so nice. Proud. You're facing that old demon. Good job, sis. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor June. I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday I didn't want to bother you because I thought to text you, and then I looked in band, and then you were with your daughter. I'm like, I am not going to bother her about this.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of you, sister. I can't wait to hear. Keep going.
Okay, so I was walking. My aunt has two dogs. We have a little dog, too. And so I was walking one of the little dogs, and he always loves to go out for a walk. So I thought, okay, well, let's go. Because one time he got loose, and he went in that direction. So I said, okay, well, this way. And then he came back, and on his own, he came after me calling him. He did come back on his own because I didn't leave the door. I didn't lock the door, so I'm like, I better go lock this door. I don't trust these people. So anyhow, so I came back because I was the only one at home. So anyway, so I said, well, you know, he loves going out. We came in. I went back out. And so we went in that direction. And so we went a little further by this big house over there. And I'm not going to be so detailed. But long story short, on the way back, you know, on the way back, we were on those grounds where that big house is at, and parking lot. And the way I have his leash, or my aunt has his leash, there's a short leash. I don't know, maybe it's just 5 feet long, something like that. And but we have this other leash that one of the dogs chewed up, and we just, you know, knotted it back together. And she had knotted it back together really, really good. So it's this long leash. And, you know, combining the two, there is a long leash probably, I don't know, about 18 feet or something like that. So anyhow, so that gives them a good lead way, or maybe not that long, but anyhow. So on the way back, you know, I let go of the leash so he can, you know, have that distance in front of me, and it's on there secure. The leash unravels. I don't know if it unraveled. It just disconnected. That's how it was. And so I noticed, oh, my God, I got this leash on, you know, and he's got that short leash, and it unraveled, and, you know, and I run, you know, try to step on it, and I miss it. And then by that time, he looks back, and he notices he's disconnected, and so he tries to take off, and I was able to put my foot down on that part of the leash. I mean, it was clear as day. And so because I have this long leash, when I bent down, like both of the leash touch, but I'm trying to pick up that small leash. So I'm thinking I got to knot this back up a little bit better. That whole leash was connected again. And I'm telling you, Pastor June, I would not say that. I know people don't know me. You're getting
wow, that's awesome.
Yes, and it's like how, you know, it's like either these people don't want me on their grounds, or it has something to do with, you know, where I was working at before. It's like, okay, because Denise did say, she goes, I got to talk to the team, you know, I got to talk to the boss, so just give me 2 days. You know, she did say, she goes, well, there's going to be stipulations, you know, you're not going to be able to call off. And I said, I think I was good on call off. You know, I think I called off one day here and then another day, but not really. It's probably because I really needed them.
Right.
But so she did say that, which gave me some encouragement. You know,
yeah, but what's the other stipulation?
You know what? I was trying to think of it. I don't know what she said. And I'm like, okay, well, she'll tell me, you know, or whatever.
Long as it ain't something goofy like you have to take the jab or something.
Oh, right. No, she didn't say that. And I'm not sure what she wants, but I'm not going there. You're right. Yep. You know, they come around with this TB stuff. And I know that when I was working, even when I was working at the county back in the 90s, you know, it's like every year you had to take the TB. And I know I don't want to get stuck with nothing.
You know, back in the old days, that wasn't as big of an issue as it is now.
Right.
You know, it's like now you don't want to take anything, you know?
Yeah, so there you go. I mean,
well, Monica, I want us to stop right here because I just feel led by the Holy Ghost to pray for you. You ready?
Thank you, yes.
All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for favor for her. We thank you, Lord, that when this boss goes and talks to the other people, that they will have favor over her. And I thank you, Lord, for restoring unto her what was lost in that job, that she will be able to go back in there and have a very strong backbone and be able to go in there and face those witches, face those beasts. And be able to stand strong in Jesus, knowing that blessed are those that are persecuted for his name's sake. And I thank you, Lord, for giving her the strength to do that in Jesus' name. Now, Bride, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and do mine. You know, what I was going to give you guys. If y'all want to get off here, you can. But I still would like to release this. If y'all don't mind, but I'm glad I got all of you guys is out of the way for sure, because I do apologize for overstepping my boundaries. I forgot it was Give Back Wednesday because of my time with my daughter yesterday. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Okay. All right, today I'm